This will be a special edition of Sunday Conversation with an excerpt from our Tenants Know Your Rights Forum on October 21st. And then we will also play a special conversation between State Representative Teddy Reese and our host, Gerald Riley.
If anything happens, the first thing I'm going to ask is, where's your lease? What did the lease say? Because that governs exactly, as Adrian was saying, that governs everything. So where you start is where it ends. So when you sign that first lease, you want to know, you want to be sure the property is right, that it's the house or the unit that it says. You're going to go through and you're going to look at the unit and make sure that it's damages or not damages, get things done or get things not done. Know this, once you sign the lease, what you got is what you got. So if there's a problem, if there's a hole in the wall, and you move in and you sign the lease, that hole is probably going to be there for the extent of the lease. They may come back and repair it, they may not. So you want to be sure that you inspect the property properly, go through all the checklists and make sure that they're going to come in and do the repairs. Get an agreement, get it in writing, get an email, get a text, right? That's as good as in writing, as a signed agreement for those kinds of things. The other thing is you want to know, how long is the lease? Will the rent go up? How much it'll go up if that's something that's in the rent, in the lease? You want to know what happens at the end of the lease, where you become maybe a month to month or a tenant in suffrage or these different things. So do you have to get out immediately? And how do you break the lease? Can you break the lease? What are the policies and rules with regard to getting out of the lease? Does the landlord have the right to break the lease? They do, and they absolutely do under certain circumstances. So if a landlord owns a property and their house burns down, they can say, I gotta live in my own house. I own this. And so you can be asked to leave the house. You would have, yeah, with notice. So you would have 30, 60 days, and on that I'm a bit rusty, but you would have notice, but they could have you leave the property. We're personal injury attorneys, as I said. And so what we do is we handle cases currently wherein the tenant has been injured at their rental property. So they're living in a property that they're renting, as Janice explained, and something happens. That hole in the wall got bigger and the refrigerator fell through the wall and into the bedroom and onto the kids. Kid's injured, broke his arm. You have a lawsuit, you have potentially, you can sue the landlord for that injury. There are a few things you want to do. Remember I said text, email, write it down. You want to, if you have a complaint, hey, the kid got injured, you want to put it in writing that you made the complaint to the landlord. Even if they don't reply to you, you still want to notice that you notified them that there was a problem. And the other question we get when people have these lawsuits potentially is the landlord wants to retaliate. I want to evict you. You're suing me? Get out of my house. They cannot do that. That is illegal in Georgia. When we take a case, we send them a notice that includes, and you cannot retaliate against the tenant. They can't put you out. They, not within 6 months of the lawsuit being filed. They can't put you out. They cannot... as long as you're paying your rent, yeah, they can't put you out. Oh, I was going to come back to that. As long as you haven't violated that what?
Lease.
Exactly. So if you haven't violated the lease, they can't put you out for other things. So they can't put you out, they can't raise the rent unless it's in the lease. They cannot turn off the water, they can't lock you out. So that's important to know. And, okay. And so, I think, I guess that's all. Okay.
Of course,
we're lawyers. You know, at first I said anything to say on the subject, but I do. And the main thing is both of these good people have alluded to this, but it is just of paramount importance because I cannot tell you the number of clients I have represented who said, I signed the lease because the landlord promised me that he or she would come back and fix that hole in the floor. Folks, if it's not on paper, it didn't happen. I'm gonna use one legal term, and I promise you I probably won't do it again. It's called a force majeure clause. It is in every lease. And what that says is, this lease is the entire agreement. Nothing outside of this lease has been promised to either party. So if you come into court and you say, but he told me that the ceiling had been fixed, the judge is going to look down at the lease. I don't see that in the lease. Please leave my courtroom and pay the rent.
Okay.
Because go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry. Pause. Go ahead.
No. And which obviously leads to another thing. And if the landlord or the management company has not fixed the hole or the leak or the whatever, you cannot withhold rent. You cannot. That is not something you can do in Georgia. Because the first question when you get to court is, has the rent been paid? If the answer is no, get out. And we'll see you next time. Thanks for coming. Thanks for participating. So
he means get out of the lease. Get out of the house.
Get out of the house, and you probably have 7 days. So you cannot withhold your rent because the landlord is not doing what they promised. So number one, get it in the lease. If there's a promise, it has to be in that lease. There's addendums to the lease, to the form that this good gentleman just said. There are addendums to that. So it has to be in the lease. If it's not in the lease, it doesn't exist. Number two, if they do not hold to their promises, you cannot withhold the rent. Because that is automatic eviction, and they're not going to listen to anything else. There was one more point, and I lost it. So I'm this young lady talking. Hopefully, we'll come back to it.
It's going to come back. And I have some more questions. I want us to keep on that lease question.
Absolutely.
You all have brought up the whole panel. We're going to discuss all that.
Absolutely. And the thing is, well, they told me if I didn't go ahead and sign it today, that somebody else was going to get it. Do not ever feel forced to sign something until you have reviewed it, you have read over it. And in the world that I deal in every day, 90% of the time, the person signs the lease not understanding that they're responsible for certain maintenance of the unit, whether it be the air conditioner filters. That's your responsibility 99.9% of the time when you're renting a unit. I often say, what appliances are included? Oh, I don't know. He said he put something in there. Well, 3 weeks later, there's still no refrigerator, no stove, because, again, it's not included in the lease. And if you start to read it, it's like appliances excluded. Again, read, ask, and I think that's where it comes up. If you are in question, not sure, just want to have someone look over it, calling 211, they will direct you to Georgia Legal Services, who can say, hey, this is standard, this looks good, or did you know that after 6 months, they might renew it and raise your rent? That's in there. All of those things. Some of them are very easy. They may be one or two pages. I have seen them that are 47 pages long. So, and it will go into all kinds of things. So, especially if you're on a voucher program, if you're on Section 8 or any of those things, do not sign anything until you've talked with the housing case manager that you're working with in the outside program, or with the housing authority, because the moment you sign it, you are responsible. And many times, all of the programs that we work with at the United Way, I know all the ones with the housing authority and many of our homeless service providers, there must be a housing quality standards inspection done before any paperwork is signed. If it's not done before that and you sign the document, no one else is responsible for you, and they can hold you to the contract, and I've seen them do it.
So that's all really, really good information, and there's so much to pull apart in there. But let's start with, I think I found a place I want to stay, and they gave me a lease. But I'm not an attorney. I don't know how to read the lease. You just gave a little bit of help. And so this is really important. So let's say you just got a lease. You're not an attorney. You don't know how to read it. Where do I go to get some help? Well, first, Pat talked about going to, if there's an organization that is helping you get the property, any organization, you should be able to take that lease. Hey, thank you so much for this. I'm excited about this property. Can I have a copy of that lease? I'll get it to you. No, I'll wait. Go ahead and make a copy. I'll take that lease with me and I'll bring it back. Is there a deadline? We give you, you should have it back as soon as you can. I can have it back within 48 hours to 72 hours. That should be enough time. Don't overpromise. So never overpromise. Don't tell someone I'll have it back in a couple of hours, because you can't get anybody in a couple of hours. So give people reasonable deadlines just like they give you. So the first thing is, I have a lease. I need to go have somebody read it. What if I'm not getting help from an assistant, from an organization? Who else can help me read the lease? Who would you all recommend to help read the lease?
The Georgia Bar Association has resources that they can refer you to attorneys who will do pro bono work. Sometimes, you want the specialist, actually, if you're getting some work done. So if you're having legal work done, you want a lawyer who specializes in that. However, sometimes you might have a church member or somebody who might be gracious enough to read your lease for you. But it is their job, so they might charge you to look at their lease, because people hand me, I don't know if this happens to you, but people will hand you, Adrian, on your free time, would you look this lease over for me? And you're like, on my free time? On my free time, I'm doing precept. Free for me or getting paid otherwise. So keep that in mind if you ask somebody and they say no, they can't. But if you call the Georgia Bar Association, they will refer to good organizations. Columbus has a legal aid?
Yes.
How many
Georgia offices? Legal Services.
One office?
One office.
Okay.
So I just sent papers around. They're going around with the phone number for Georgia Legal Services. But I do want to tell you in advance, Georgia Legal Services is not manned with 20 attorneys. They have very few attorneys, but they do work very hard. And they do call on other Georgia attorneys to work pro bono.
And so, they also probably have, periodically, they'll have like a free law day
clinics,
where you can come to clinics and get your questions answered. Law schools sometimes.
Absolutely. So those are some resources that people can go to help them read the lease. So that's the first thing. So let's say you read the lease, and then the next thing you do is you are walking the property, right? Well, let's say you did that first. You walked the property and you had in your hand a notepad and a piece of paper. I literally learned from my father. He said, you pretty much go nowhere without a notepad and a piece of paper. So you take your notepad and your piece of paper. Oh, I didn't need to go back. Here's another group that can help you. So the Curio Eco Latino has resources of people who can help you with reading your lease as well. Whether you speak English, whether you speak Spanish, there are resources in our community. So please don't say that I didn't speak English, so I just decided either not to get the property or I just figured the problem's okay. No, it deserves to be read to you in the language that you understand. You need to understand what's on that lease. So please reach out to Wayne at the Courier Eco Latino. He has resources that are going to help you to read that lease and understand what's going on. So you have your piece of paper. Wayne, raise your hand. All right. So you have that piece of paper, you're walking around and you see all these problems. They just told us, now I know, you said you were going to use one legal word, but you use another one. You said addendums. So people will tell you, this is the lease. You can't do anything. This lease is what it is. You take it with, no, that's not true. Attorney Foster just told you that there is an addendum. You can say, hey, you're going to have to write this in. You're going to have to write this in your lease. Write in that you will fix this hole in the wall no longer than two, it'll take you 2 weeks to get it fixed. Is that fair language?
That's absolutely fair.
Okay, and if they tell you no, if it's not printed on the lease, it doesn't count. Is that right?
If it's not in the lease, it didn't happen.
Okay, if it's not in the lease, it didn't happen, but it can be written in the lease. So if they just tell you, don't worry about it, it's just me and you talking, you know that I'm gonna do it, I'm good for it, you know my cousin, blah, blah. I, I so appreciate you. I know your cousin, and I know you would never do anything to, you know, to hurt me, but I need you to write it down. So, and we keep hitting on it because in law, when you're trying to ask people to do what they're supposed to do, people look to the writing. Okay, so we got those advice. So now let's move on. So here's my next question.
And let me say one thing about that. So it's my friend, it's my church member, and so I trust them. Of course you do. And what I say to people is, I trust you, but what if, you know, you get an ambassadorship and you got to move to Bermuda and somebody else is managing the property? I just need this so that we're all protected. That's usually the way I handle it. You know, something great might happen for you and it takes you away quickly, and then here we are without a lease or without a proper addendum.
Very good. Very good. All right, now I'm going to give you all the harder questions, okay? Let's say they read the lease. They thought everything was fine. Now they've been living in the... Oh, wait. Before I go to that, I forgive you all for my mind. There's also clauses that they talk about as far as how to get out of the lease and how the lease terminates. Those are really important parts of the agreement. You need to know what your rights are as to when you need to leave, how many months notice, how much notice do I have to give you if I need to leave, how do I need to give you that notice, and then how much notice do you have to give me if you're going to raise my rent or if you're going to kick me out. Those pieces are really important to note, because there is, by the way, there's never a this is your only option. You can always decide, and I know it's not easy to find another place, but you can always decide that you no longer want to be in contractual relationship with that building or that place. And just to let you know, you may feel like you're the only one who's over the barrel because you need a place to live. They're not gonna put you out that same day. Can't do that. But you also, they also have to go and reset that house for someone else. It takes time and money to find another to rent in that home. There may be people waiting in line, but they can't just put them in. So don't feel like you have no other options. There's always a no. There's always a I'd like to get out. So I just wanna put that point in.
And I want to say one more thing. A lot of times they don't want to give you the lease. Oh, we're going to put it in and it'll be electronic and you can access it. Access it then. Say, okay, well, let's do that right now. Let me set my account up and everything so I can see. How often do we work with somebody and they don't even have the lease? They not only haven't read it, they don't even have it in their possession.
And as Janice has stated, one of the clauses that you want to look at in your lease is the automatic renewal. Does it automatically renew? I encounter a lot, people are ready to move on to somewhere else, to another property, but they've missed the auto renew time frame, and where they're thinking they are on a month to month, that although they signed the year, you know, sometimes it's worded, I know the Georgia Association of Realtor contracts is that this lease is good for 1 year, but if we don't hear anything from you 90 days, 30 days before your termination date, it's going to automatically, we're assuming that you're going to automatically re-up. And that's one of those ways to protect the owner and the property manager, because at the end of the day, this is a capitalistic society. People want their money, and they want guaranteed money, and they have to, the owner has to make preparations of, if you're not going to renew, they have to put that house on the market before you move out. They can't just wait until you move out to put it on the market, but they want to have everything in place. So just keep an eye on that. Does my lease have an automatic renewal, a window that I need to be made aware of? And even for property owners, sometimes we encounter, even with their relationship, they think that they are outside of their contract, but there's an auto-renew clause in there that they weren't familiar with in dealing with the property manager. So just keep that in mind.
And just one more thing, really quick. Just put it on your watch, right? Remind yourself, calendar it immediately when you sign the lease so you won't miss that.
And I also would recommend that you do a review. If your lease is up 60 days before the end of the year, or you have to renew 60 days before the end of the year, do a review 90 to 120 days where you go sit down with your landlord, you go sit down with your property management and say, hey, if everything's great, that's good. But if not, here's some things that are still going on. When are you planning on fixing this? Are you going to upgrade this like you said? Blah, blah, blah. So that also gives you some time to have that conversation on your own terms. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And be aware in the society in which we live in, your landlord or your property manager may not live in the United States. That if you, at one point in time, you could walk into someone's office, but the way things are going, most property managers, even if they're local, they want you to deal with the automated systems. And so just keep all that in mind as timing and even barriers of being able to get what you need to be able to advocate for yourself. That you may be dealing with someone outside of the country, outside of Georgia, or even, you know, outside of, even if they're in Columbus, they may not have a way for you to actually have face-to-face encounters. So that's why having an advocate to be able to represent you is always important.
Which brings us to probably the reason why half of you are here, because something has happened. You got your lease, you've been in your property, and now the property is not being kept up.
Happy Sunday and welcome to another amazing edition of Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, establishing effective communication through spiritual growth. My name is Gerald Riley, and unfortunately, you know the deal. My beautiful wife, my queen, cannot be with us today because she is at the Overflow Salon and Barbershop holding it down for Team Riley. Hey, listen. We're broadcasting all the way from Columbus, Georgia to Eufaula, Alabama, and surrounding areas. And today's special guest, sir, could you please introduce yourself?
Well, hello, everyone. I am State Representative Teddy Reese. And if this voice sounds familiar, for 6 years, I was on this program at Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. And we had a wonderful time. Oh, I do miss coming on every Sunday, talking to the listeners around the Chattahoochee Valley. I used to say it's from the Florida-Georgia line to LaGrange and from Macon County, Alabama to Macon County, Georgia. Oh, but listeners can hear us in that entire region. And I tell you, there's nothing like radio. It's such a history. But I'm not here to talk about that today. I'll come back and talk about that another day. Today we are here to talk about housing and tenant rights. And so I understand you have a question for me, Riley.
Teddy, could you please share with our listeners about the law and bill that you introduced to help serve our tenants?
Yeah, absolutely. During the last legislative session, we recognized and had been pondering, to be honest with you, through a few legislative sessions, the need for us to help protect tenants throughout Georgia. We were seeing an unfair balance with homeowners and tenants not getting what they need. And we were also seeing a disturbing trend of corporations and entities from out of state coming in, buying up hundreds of homes within a community and rent them out and not really having anyone that the renters could go to in the event that there was a problem at that particular location. So we knew there was some things that we needed to help address as it relates to that. And in our code, we already had a law that was supposed to be protecting tenants under Chapter 7, under Title 14, under our annotated code 44-7-13. And so what we did with that with House Bill 404 is we went in and we just simply changed some of the things that say must and put shall, because when you look at it from a legal interpretation standpoint, shall is a stronger word than must, and shall means they must do this. They shall. I just used the word again. Shall means they are legally obligated to do it. You can't get around it. You have to do it. So as it relates to making sure that a tenant has a place that's simply habitable, I mean, we're not asking too much. We're simply saying don't have someone living in a property where there's mold everywhere. We're simply saying, if the hot water heater goes out, go fix it, because, you know, it's hard to take a bath with cold water. We're simply saying if the heat is out and it's the middle of the winter, don't make that mom sit there with her two or three kids, you know, trying to figure out how they're going to stay warm, the stove open, and that's dangerous because you haven't fixed the the heat. So it's a matter of doing what needs to be done within a reasonable time frame to make sure that the tenants have a habitable place to stay. Now, there is a section that we did add in there under subsection C that wasn't in there before. And what this section said was that 3 days after a renter files for an eviction, within a 3-day period, they have to accept payment. Prior to that, once they filed that eviction, you could show up to court if you wanted to with full payment, and the judge could not make them accept that. Now, under this new law, if we're within 3 days of that eviction being filed and you have the full payment, not partial now, don't go up there with half of it, tomorrow I'm going to get half later and Representative Reese say you have to take it. Doesn't work like that. You have to have everything that is past due. That includes the past due amounts as well as the late fees or any of the fees that may apply to it.
But Teddy, can you tell our listeners how these laws are enforced and how our tenants can take advantage of such laws?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, I understand that enforcement is a critical part of our law, of the rights and protections that are granted to people. Enforcement is oftentimes the part that we're missing. Like when we had under our ugly laws back in the day, when we had separate but equal, they were enforcing the separate part, keeping black and white kids away from each other in like educational settings and government arenas. But they were not enforcing the equal part, because the white schools would look spanking new and the black facilities would be run down or you know, holes in the windows and old books and old desks and, you know, dirt basketball courts when the white schools had basketball gyms on hardwood floors. There was nothing equal about that. And we couldn't argue that it was equal. So there was an enforcement challenge there. And we sometimes do have enforcement challenge with our laws. But the way House Bill 404 is constructed, the enforcement is actually done at the court level. So the enforcement is done at the magistrate court. So let's say you're 2 days within that window of your landlord filing that eviction and you go to pay him. First of all, don't go pay with cash. Cash is not traceable. You never know when, cash, some of it can disappear. There's no record of you having that cash. I certainly wouldn't pay with a personal check either, because actually they don't have to accept the personal check because we don't know if the funds are there. Personal checks are not guaranteed. The best thing to do is get like a money order or a certified check. And those two entities will have a printed date from the place that you purchased it, showing it when you purchased it. So if you purchase that money order within that 3-day period and that homeowner don't want to accept it, when you go to court and show it to that judge, you have proof, outside documented proof, that you were prepared and presenting that payment within the 3 days that are allowed by Georgia law, but that landlord refused to accept it. That's your enforcement right there. But then I say to you again, and I ask you to question yourself, if you're renting from someone who's already giving you these type of issues, they clearly don't want you in the property, they don't want to accept your money anymore. If you have problems, how accessible are they going to be to you to fixing those problems? Just like landlords like to say there are some bad tenants, I can tell you now there are some horrible landlords and some people you just shouldn't want to rent from. Especially, you know, it goes back to that old adage, when a zebra show you stripes, you better believe him. And it's the same thing when it comes to renters. All landlords are not worth renting from. All of them are not worth you giving your money to. And I know housing is at a premium. I know that housing is tough to find. I know that we have adequate housing challenges right now, not only in our city, but in our state, in our country. We have too many homeless people, especially homeless veterans, sleeping up on the bridges, just 200 feet away from the state steps at the state capitol. I know we're having some serious housing challenges right now, but I just want you to remember who you are and the dignity and respect in which you are still deserve and you are still owed. Don't let anybody treat you any kind of way. Yes, you have these laws to protect you, but don't deal with that foolishness if you don't have to. So yes, this bill that we passed, it has teeth. it has some bite to it. Judge, the local judges can enforce it. If you have a habitation issue going on to where the person's not doing what they're supposed to do with the property, continue to pay the rent because you don't want that becoming an issue, but go and file an action against them in magistrate court. You can file an action against a person that you're renting from and say that they're not doing what that needs to happen and you're living in a dangerous place or unfit place. That's where you have the teeth on the action with the court itself, and you can make sure that that is heard. So I want to thank you for allowing me to come on, Riley, and have this conversation, man. You and your wife, Gerald and Katasha, just two favorite people of mine. I mean, I love you both, and you already know that. You're doing a great job in our community. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for all your support. And I'm going to get back on here with you, man, and we'll talk some more in the future.
Hey, I appreciate the kind words, brother. Thank you for your time. This has been Sunday Conversation with Riley. Peace out.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.